cold or going to be a colder, but wet night. But it is still Christmas, and it is still a good time for us to be together. If you listen to the last several years, our Christmas Eve services typically involve a children's play recreating the story of Christmas. Because of COVID, this year that will not be the case. Instead, what we are doing tonight is we're going to have a worship service. Christmas Eve is a great time for us as the church, as God's people, to come together in worship, come together and sing to Him, come together and celebrate the birth and the arrival of our King. And so, if you would, please take your hymnals. We're going to start by singing hymn 154. Please stand and sing with me. See him earlier. No, Eric's here. Thank you. You may be seated.
Would be Steve's stunt double. Welcome. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see some faces I haven't seen in a while, and many of y'all that are here on a regular basis. We certainly do appreciate you coming out and spending your Christmas Eve, the celebration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this day. So, the congregation on their behalf, Patrick, if you come up here a minute, please. And it's not just for you. We certainly do appreciate the whole McCabe family. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. We appreciate you, what y'all do for this church, this congregation. Hopefully they are making that known to you, but I'm going to speak on their behalf tonight and let you know that. And, you know, we certainly do appreciate the number of years that you've been here, which is
four.
Yeah. That's what I thought it was. very short amount of time, many years ago. How about that?
There you go.
On behalf of the church, we have a little bit of something for you.
Thank you.
We certainly do appreciate you.
Thank you. Let's keep singing. If you will, hymn 187, O Holy Night. Please stand and sing with me.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Thank you.
Tonight, as we light the Advent wreath, we come to our final candle, our Christ candle. Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Christ has come. The Savior is here. The King is born.
It was not a silent night. There was blood on the ground. You could hear a woman cry in the alley late that night on the streets of David's town. And the stable was not clean. And the cobblestones were cold. And little Mary, full of grace, with the tears upon her face, had no mother's hand to hold. It was a labor of pain. It was a cold sky above. For the girl on the ground in the dark, every beat of her beautiful heart was a labor of love. Noble Joseph by her side, his calloused hands and weary eyes. There were no midwives to be found on the streets of David's town. In the middle of the night. And so he held her and he prayed. Shafts of moonlight on his face. But the baby in her womb, he was the maker of the moon. He was the author of the faith that could make the mountains move. Mm-hmm. was a labor of pain. It was a cold sky above. But for the girl on the ground in the dark, every beat of her beautiful heart was a labor of love. And little Mary, full of grace, with the tears upon her face, it was a labor of love. It was not a silent night on the streets of David's town.
Continue our reading in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 21. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of God, of the Lord, appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let us pray. Father God, we come here tonight, gathered together as your church, with expectant hearts, Lord. Lord, we anticipate this time all through Advent, and it's here. Lord, help us, Lord, in these days, in this evening, in tomorrow, Lord, just not to get caught up in the things of this world and the trappings and stuff that distract us from the real reason why we celebrate. You've come. You've came to rescue us. And for that, we are forever grateful. You are Christ the Lord. May we praise your name forever. May we, like Mary, treasure and ponder all these things. And like the shepherds, go about praising and glorifying your name. You've come for all peoples, Lord. You came for the shepherds. Help us that we can go into this world and proclaim you to all peoples. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name, your Son. Amen.
Seeing too many people out here in the fields at this time of night. Normally it's just me. But I guess I won't turn down company, though. It's always nice to see a few familiar faces. Well, forgive me, my name's Jacob. I am, as you can see, a shepherd. I'm a shepherd. My dad was a shepherd. I've always really been a shepherd for as long as I can remember. His dad was a shepherd before him, his before him. My children will probably grow up to be shepherds as well. And not too many people think highly of shepherds. After a while, you kind of can't watch the stink off too much. But that's all right. Comes with the territory, I suppose. Sorry, I have a lot on my mind tonight. Hey, you guys have been seeing the news, the man from Galilee. I can't stop thinking about what happened to him last week. You know, it's crazy. I met him. I met him when he was a baby. It really wasn't a night too different from this night, now that I think about it. Yeah, it was about 30 some odd years or so ago. I must have been 7 or 8 years old. I had been begging my mom and dad to let me go out with my dad and with my grandpa in the fields to watch the sheep at night, to finally do what the grown-ups do. My dad always said that it's not safe, you're too young. Just give it a few more years, then you can come back out with us. But I was determined. I pushed and I pushed and I finally wore them out and finally got that chance. Dad finally let me go out with him. So one night we bundled up after dinner. It was cold and we let the sheep out of the pens and we walked out through the fields. You know, I remember as we walked out, I remember how quiet it was. I mean, Bethlehem's not a big town anyways. It's quiet during the day most of the time. But that night in particular, it was quiet. I mean, the kind of quiet that you could hear every step. You could hear the crunch in the grass as you walk through the fields. You could hear the sheep just moving through the pasture. Hear them chewing. It was quiet. And it was so excited. This little boy, I was so excited and nervous to finally be out there to see what they finally do all those nights when I'm at home asleep. And then it got really, really boring. I mean, do you know what shepherds do? They just watch sheep all night. I mean, I was thinking that it was going to be something exciting, that we were going to do something fun, and instead we just stood there. And so then I got sleepy and tired, and it just kept going on. And I remember just being bored out of my mind, thinking this has got to do, we've got to do something else. It was such a dull night. Until it wasn't. I mean, there I was, failing to keep my eyes open, trying to hold on and prop myself up on the staff. And all of a sudden, the entire sky lit up. I've never seen anything like it before. I'm not talking about just a bright light. I'm talking it went from midnight to noon in a snap. I was completely caught off guard. I was just blinded. My eyes were burning. I couldn't see. I'm sitting there trying to rub them, trying to let my eyes adjust. And as I'm starting to squint and being able to finally see a little bit, I realize this light hasn't come from a fire. It hasn't come from lightning or anything like that. This is heavenly light. I mean, this is the light that you read about in those old stories about Moses. This is the glory of God kind of light. I was terrified. I was so scared, so unsure what to do. I knew I should have stayed home in that moment. And my dad was right. It was not safe for a 7-year-old to be out in the fields. And then as my eyes are slowly able to see through the light, I realize that there's this angel standing in front of us. And I am frozen in fear. I can't move. I can't do anything. My dad and my grandpa are over here like, get down, get down. And I'm stuck. The sheep are scattering about. Everything's going crazy. It is a scene of chaos. And then the angel spoke. You know how in certain times things go from one extreme to the other. This went from everything moving at a rapid pace, chaos, to slow motion stillness. I can close my eyes and I can still see that angel. I can still hear his voice. I can still tell you exactly what he said. I'll remember these words for the rest of my life. Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Such strange words, and yet calming, peaceful. I couldn't believe, standing there in front of an angel, that an angel of the Lord would come to a group of nobodies. A group of shepherds out in the field. I mean, did the angels get lost on the way there? Did they mean to go to the palace and they just showed up at a pasture instead? But as soon as he finished speaking, as soon as he said those words, it must have been hundreds of other angels showed up out of nowhere. I mean, hundreds. And imagine, just try to imagine this if you can. If one angel lit up the sky in such a way that you couldn't see, imagine what hundreds of them did. I mean, this wasn't just a bright light. This was a light that knocked you backwards. And there they are, hundreds of angels, and they all started shouting, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Shouting. And it was so loud. It was deafening. It was loud enough that it made you want to cover your ears, but it was sweet enough that it made you never want it to end. There's no sound in this great green earth that I can give to compare it to. Eventually the angels left, all of them. They returned to heaven, and it was like somebody turned off all the lights in a moment. I went from pitch black to bright light to pitch black again. I was blind. I couldn't see anything. I could hear my dad and my grandpa. They were with the other shepherds and they were getting together a plan, and here I am trying to gain my bearings and figure out where I am, tripping over every rock, root, and sheep in the pasture. By the time I finally can see again, the first thing I see is that I'm alone in the fields. The rest of the shepherds have taken off. They've made a beeline straight into town. And I was 7, 8 years old, and I was a fast kid. I wasn't slow. I could hold my own in a race. But there was no one who could beat my grandfather that day. I mean, he took off and he was paces and yards, and he was so far ahead of everyone else that no one was coming close. I mean, he was gaining ground on everyone. And so we get to Bethlehem and we start running up and down every street. I mean, we're looking and we're searching, and I tell you, it's a good thing the angel told us what to look for, because otherwise we would have no idea. But the angel said, "Baby, swaddling cloths, manger." So that's what we did. Running through the street, baby, swaddling cloths, manger, baby, swaddling cloths. I mean, we're looking everywhere, going down every corner and every street, trying to find this child. And then we found him. Now, I had seen babies before. My little brother was just born not long before that, and I've seen babies. Babies really weren't anything special to me at that point in my life. But that child, I knew right when I saw him, there was something different about that child. There was something special here. And so we walked into this stable, and right there in the middle of the stable is this young girl, her husband, and the manger. And that sweet little boy lying there. Exactly as the angel said. I mean, we really couldn't believe it, but it had to be this. And as you can imagine, they were pretty caught off guard themselves. I mean, imagine if you were sitting at home around a newborn baby and a group of random shepherds just barged in and said, "We're looking for your baby. Where is he?" But my dad started talking to Mary, and he began telling her about the angels and what the angels had told us out in the fields and why we had come. And it was like they knew what we were talking about. It was almost like I could have sworn that she had seen angels before. We didn't have to describe them, she knew. But I couldn't take my eyes off of him. I mean, all the adults are gathered around, they're talking about the Savior and the Messiah and the angels and everything, and all I saw was this baby boy. His mom even let me hold him. And there I am holding this tiny little infant. And I'm wondering, how could something so small, so seemingly powerless, how could this be the Christ? How could this baby be the King? And why on earth would someone let me hold him? But I knew that what the angel said was true. I knew that this child was him. He was the one that we'd been waiting for. He was the one that God had promised. He was the Savior. I knew it on that night. I knew deep down, standing there holding that baby, that this child, this King, this Savior had come for me. And that God had called me to come and see Him. That this good news that the angel spoke of, this good news for all the people would be even for someone like me, the least of these. Eventually we left the stable, we left Mary and Joseph. I mean, as much as we enjoyed our visit and seeing this child, I mean, you could see Mary, she had just given birth. She was exhausted. And so were we. But it was kind of that adrenaline, nervous exhaustion. You're tired, you need to sit down, but you're too amped up to do anything. So we returned. We went back to our fields. Now that may seem a little bit strange to the likes of you, but I mean, if it were you, you might start a tweeter or a video of some kind. But for us, it just felt right to go back to the fields. You see, God had called my family to be shepherds. That's who we were. Well, yes, a lot of people don't like shepherds, and we really don't make a lot of friends who aren't themselves shepherds. But shepherds we were. And it was to us shepherds that God had sent His angels. It was to us shepherds that God had invited to come and see His child, His son. I mean, I don't think there was anything special about us. We weren't anybody. We were nobodies. Just ordinary folk. But God came to us. And He told us about His son. Now don't get me wrong, we told everyone about that night. My grandpa, every time for the rest of his life, every time there was a break, a lull in the conversation, as we were sitting around a fire, if someone stopped talking, you'd be sure he was going to tell you that story. It got to the point that everyone had memorized it just from hearing him say it so much. But I never got tired of hearing him say it. That night was special. That night was glorious. I wish it would have stayed that night forever. Life got pretty hard for us after that night. I think it must have been a year or two later that word had apparently reached King Herod about the birth of this newborn king. Now, I don't know what your politics look like, but let me tell you, King Herod was about as wicked as they come. He didn't like this idea of a new king being born. And listen, I get it. He thought somebody was coming to try and steal his throne. I get it. But what he did, what he sent his soldiers to do was inexcusable. It was unjustifiable. You see, his soldiers came to Bethlehem at night. And me and my dad, we were out in the fields the same way we were that other night. We were there with the sheep. And standing there on the hills, we could look down into the city and you could see that the torchlight just come up to the city. There's a lot of noise. Couldn't really make out from where we were, what we were hearing, what we were seeing, but it was clear that something was happening. And so I asked my dad, I said, should we go help? Should we go figure out what's happening and go see what we can do? And dad said, no, if we go down there, we're only going to get ourselves into whatever trouble those people are already in. And it made sense at the time. And so we stayed. Eventually though, the whole town woke up. The lights got brighter as torches and candles more and more were lit. And the noise got louder. And they started fighting. We could hear fights. We could hear swords. We could hear metal hitting on metal. And then they started screaming. I can still hear them screaming. That pain. I knew someone was dying. I just never imagined who. And so all night the soldiers just moved slowly through the town. And everywhere they went, the crying got louder and louder and louder until the entire town of Bethlehem was just weeping. And they wept all night. We had no idea what happened until the morning. I remember we came out of the pasture and we put the sheep in the pen. We started walking down our road. And it was a mess. There was broken pots and glass. There were doors that had just been ripped off and thrown into the streets. There was one of our neighbors was knocked out here on the side of the road, and he was holding a bloody clothes is what it looked like. And we walked up to our house, and I got to our front gate and I looked up and I froze. I couldn't move. Because our front door was in splinters. My dad saw it. He went running in past me, but I stood there. I couldn't figure out why. Why on earth would Roman soldiers come to the house of shepherds? I mean, what had we done? We didn't do anything. We didn't break any laws. We were nobodies. Why did they come to us? So as I'm standing there and I'm trying to figure out what we possibly could have done to deserve this, I hear my dad. And he makes this sound. Almost like a scream that lost all strength as it came out. This sound of pain and anger and confusion. And so I walk into the front door, and my dad and my mom are both laying in the floor, and they're sitting there. And they're holding my little brother. That's who the soldiers came for. They came for my 2-year-old little brother. They came looking for that baby in the manger. And when they couldn't find him, they killed everyone who looked like him. I lost my brother that night. Bethlehem lost countless children that night. I was out in the field watching sheep when Herod sent soldiers to kill little boys. Why? Why do the wicked prosper? Why is there so much suffering and pain? I mean, surely you know what I'm talking about. Surely you have felt some loss. I can't be the only one who's experienced, who's lost someone. Maybe it wasn't soldiers who took your loved ones, but maybe it was a sickness. Surely there's someone here who knows what it's like to lose, someone who knows what it's like to suffer, someone who knows what it's like to hurt. I don't understand why there's so much evil that's just allowed. I mean, Herod's been gone for years now, but it seems that every king that comes after him is just as bad as the one before, if not worse. There's no justice, there's no peace. And I mean, you heard the news from Jerusalem. You heard the things that they said about this Jesus. I mean, you wouldn't believe the stories we've heard over the last few years. The healings, the miracles they say that he did. I definitely believe it. I saw him. I know that there was something special about him. I still remember that night. I still remember what the angel said about him, and I knew it was true. He did those things. And yet here we are, and it seems like the wicked still win. You see, today I got a letter from a buddy of mine in Jerusalem. He said that they killed Jesus last week. They crucified him. I don't understand. They said they killed him. They killed him because he was saying things that went against God. But how can that be? God's the one who sent him. How could he go against God? No, they just didn't like what he was saying, so they had him killed. They did what Herod couldn't do. They killed him. He's dead. And the world is as dark tonight as it was that night before the angels came. The wicked win again. But you know, there's something else. There's something else my buddy wrote at the end of his letter, and I can't quite make heads or tails of it. It has to be a typo, but I can't stop thinking about it. He couldn't have meant what he said. He said, you tell me. He said they killed Jesus last week, they crucified him, and that a few days later his followers said that he was alive again. That can't be right. Right? I mean, the dead don't just come back. You can't come back from that. Unless. I mean, unless he really is God. And instead of this world being lost in darkness, it's like that angel's light is actually breaking through all over again. I mean, what if this was the plan all along? What if Jesus came and planned to die like this? What if his death wasn't because some wicked men wanted him dead, but what if he died for wicked men? Maybe his death meant something different. And if he's alive, then maybe death isn't the last word anymore. I mean, can you imagine? What if it's true? What if he's alive? I mean, could it be that God is really making the sad come untrue? If Jesus is alive after death, does Does that mean I could see my brother again? Does that mean that I'll see my Savior again? What a sweet thought that is. I mean, it's got to be true. It's too good not to be. I'm thankful, you know, for nights like this. Quiet nights out in the field. I think about that night all the time when I'm out here like this. I think about that light. What the angels brought with them. That word, that message, that child. Tell you what, do me a favor. You've sat here, you've listened to my story. Grant this shepherd one last request, if you don't mind. It's a dark night. You may, in fact, feel that it's been quite a dark year. And that wicked is winning. That the darkness is taking over. And believe me, I've been there myself a time or two. But I can't help but think on dark nights like this of that night when light broke through. You see, light's a funny thing. It doesn't really take much to light up the darkness. So let's do that. Will you do this with me? I want to light a candle, and I want to pass that light on to you. And then I want you to pass it on to the people sitting next to you. Because as this light grows, the darkness is driven back. And what a message it is. Because if Jesus is alive, then that darkness has been driven back. Light has broken through. He has brought light into the darkness for the first time. And that light is growing, and everywhere it goes, the darkness shrinks. Will you do this? Will you stand up and let us light a candle and sing a hymn together? Let us sing Silent Night, which is 186. Please stand. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.